Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
You see the picture in Scripture, because he's saying, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, you know, take my yoke. There's a relationship that is built into this. It's baked into this. It's a little deeper than I think we've probably seen. But what is this one that is calling us? What's his character? Is this somebody that we can trust, or does he just want to put us in a you know, put a chain on us and lead us around like slaves? Oh my God, what a picture we see in Scripture. We see it in Adam, but we see it in prophecies of the Old Testament. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, gather the lambs with his arms, gently lead those who are young. In Isaiah 40, for those of you who want to look it up later, this is David, the Lord is my shepherd. I won't lack anything. I have all that I need. But even when he takes me, even when I have to go through the valley of the shadow of death, or I'm in the presence of my enemies, he's still there. He's with me. What an amazing Lord who's willing to come down and reach down. I thought about another scripture that we know, very familiar with in John 10, where Jesus is, here he's dealing with religion. And the religion of those who thought that they had a corner on God because they had his laws and they had figured out how to make themselves look righteous by keeping those laws and looking down on people who didn't. And it was just a horrible, legalistic, negative system. And so Jesus talks about that I'm the good shepherd. I'm the one who my sheep follow me because they know my voice and all of that. But down in, verse 9, I guess. I don't want to read it all, but I am the gate. This is into a sheepfold he's talking about. I'm jumping into the middle of this. But there's a sheepfold. There's a place where the Lord gathers his sheep and watches over them and protects them. He goes in and out. He leads them. He provides for them. That's the sense that you get from Jesus. Boy, anybody here want to be one of his sheep? Absolutely. Praise God. Because you're certainly vulnerable if you're not. But anyway, I am the gate. I'm the way to get in and out. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Now he's talking about the religious people. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, which one do you want to serve? See, here's the issue. And it's not just these religious people that they didn't need to be following. They needed to go past him and go to what was real. Where do you suppose these religious people got their inspiration? See, it's not just, we see a whole lot that's seen, but we've been learning more and more about the unseen realm, the unseen war. There is a power that has seized control of this world because the one who tempted our first parents and seduced them into making the wrong choice and everything going sideways, all that our first parents did was to hand over that awesome authority that God had given them to another kingdom. And suddenly, he's in charge and he inspires whatever it will take to bring people into spiritual captivity and blindness. And all he's wanting to do is to be worshipped like God and have control. What a spirit there is. But that's the spirit that is in control of this world. That's the reality of it. What an amazing thing it is that Jesus would be willing to come into such a world. Do you think that a single one of us would have reached out to the unseen God and said, oh God, things are a mess here, help me, if he hadn't come looking for us? Doesn't that reveal something about his heart? And what is his motivation? It's a love that we have no power to understand. I want to grasp that more. I confess, you know, we get so involved in just the visible things and the things we experience in this bodily existence. And I think we've got a whole lot to learn. I know I do. For that love to become more real, that he actually loves me. Because the devil is going to spend a lot of time pointing out all the reasons why he shouldn't. And he got plenty of ammunition if I want to listen to it. Because I can't possibly ever deserve to be loved the way he loves. And we know, of course, what that love meant. Come to me, he says. Come to me. I'm the one who can give you rest. And we know, of course, that love was a sacrifice that took him to the cross in our place. Praise God. Come to me. And he didn't say, come to a religion. Come join my religion. I'm starting to give you a better earthly life and maybe a hope beyond that. I want you to join my religion. No, come to me. There's something very personal here. The Lord wants every single one of us to have a personal relationship with one who loves us and is real. And the amazing thing is that he has the power to be personal. How in the world could he be personal with, untold numbers of believers in the world? Because he is 100% in unity with the Father. And that God who is everywhere is in him, and through him he is able to be everywhere all at once. I can't understand that. It's beyond me, but it's real. It is real. Come to me. Come to me. Now, how many does this apply to? This divine invitation. Who does this apply to? That's an awesome word, isn't it? There's a condition, but it's not a condition of all who deserve it in some fashion. All who are willing to do this and do that and do the other and earn their position, earn their way into my acceptance. This is 100%. Just come all. And the qualification is not one of merit. It's not one who deserves to come. It's one who needs to come. All who labor or are weary and burdened in this translation. All who are weary and burdened. Truth is, every one of us experiences that in one fashion or another. I thought about this. Well, several things in connection with this. In the first place, is coming to a place where we're weary and burdened a good thing or a bad thing? Do you get that? Because if I weren't weary and burdened, I wouldn't feel any need. The religious people thought they had it made. They listened to stuff like this and said, yeah, so what? He's a false prophet. We've got to get rid of him. He's messing with our religion. But there were people who felt their need. Why do people feel their need, do you think? Do you think maybe God has something to do with that? Do you think that's maybe his goodness to reach out and say, wait a minute, you're not getting what you think you need and what you really, what I made you for. It's not happening. There's something down deep in your inner being, because we're not just these bodies that you see. There's an invisible person that lives inside of all these bodies. And that's where the problem is. We can deal with external stuff, but there's a God-sized hole in every human being. And I don't care what you seek out of this world, you will never, ever fill that void. Never, ever. God put it there. And so if there is a sense of need that would cause anybody to reach out and to be aware and to be and to have this sense, I need something. And here's someone who's inviting me to come. That's God reaching out to you because he loves you. That's a sign of, that's a good thing. If we have a need, isn't it a good thing to know about it and feel it and want to do something about it? I thank God when he shows me my need. It's not that I enjoy the process in a natural sense, but thank God he loves me enough to shine the light where it needs to be shined and help me, because every need that I find in myself, he's the answer. He has what's needed. He's not just come to me all your weary and burden, I'll pat you on the back and make you feel better. There's something that he can give me in place of all that weary burden. He can do something to me down on the inside where it's deep. And in place of all that weariness and that burden that I feel, he could put something in here that he calls rest. Isn't that incredible? Oh, praise God. Now, I get that, you know, he goes on and talks about learning from him and finding rest and all of that. So I get that there's a process of all that working out. But I'll tell you, the source of every kind of thing that we truly need down in here, that sense that I'm okay, I'm loved. God made me for a reason, because he loves me. He cares about me. He's aware of me. And it's not based upon some virtue that he finds in me. It's his own plan and his character. And if I'll find my rest there, oh, I can take a deep breath and know that it's going to be okay because he's there. And all the burden of trying to figure it out and make my way and try to find something in here, that something out of this world is going to fix that. Oh, God, I realize it's not here. This is the same one who said, what good is it going to do if you gain the whole world but you lose your soul? All the things that men seek out of this world, following their own ideas. That was the lie that Satan sold them. You take your life, you be your own God, and you serve your own interests, and everything's going, and you're going to find what you need. That's where your hope, that's where your future lies. And we see a world of people who are trying this and trying that, and they'll claw their way up the ladder to what they think is going to be success, and they get there and they feel just as empty as when they started. It's not here. Or they get a place of emptiness and they think the answer is that I've got to drug it. I've got to medicate it some way. Because I just don't want to feel this. It's too much pain. Oh, God. And here's one that came down, like I said, in that to humble himself to become human.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.